Welcome back to the Swim Coaches Podcast. It's me, Clive Marquis, and my co-host,
Sam Redman. Hi, guys.
And today we're going to chat a little bit about getting back in the pool and different ideas. Our main focus really is on, we're going to almost be selling the idea of going back in and swimming fast and then sorting out the aerobic a little bit later. But of course, a lot of programs we'll be used to, especially in our age group days, is coming in, doing the heavy volume first, lots of aerobic work, and then sorting out the speed later on in the season. But we're going to turn things on the head, try to talk about different ideas. And our idea today is all about speed first and then progressing that into the volume later on in the stage. So, Sam, go on. Do you want to kick it off?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's neither a right or a wrong answer to this, guys. So let's think about the position that we're all in at the moment. So if you're lucky enough to be under 18 or have only just turned 18 in the past few months, you guys are going to be able to get back into the pool from the 12th of April, which is amazing and great for everyone. Now, for us old fogies who are over 18, because apparently that's ancient now, yeah, we have to wait a little while. And getting back in and thinking about swimming fast, it's quite daunting. It's a daunting prospect. You maybe don't feel as loose, as flexible as what you would be if you're, you know, constantly swimming and what have you. You're worried about your shoulders, your knees, hips, everything like that. I know I am anyway. But I'm only joking, guys. So when you get back in, yes, you will need to do some form of aerobic work, just learning essentially how to breathe again, how to breathe effectively when swimming, how to move when swimming, and just learning those four strokes again. Yeah, like I'm a breaststroke swimmer. I know when I got back in after the first lockdown, I did one kick of breaststroke. I was like, what is this? Like, I'm a national finalist and I felt like I wasn't, you know, I was going to play sixth at club championships, for God's sake. You know, you need that like 2 to 3 weeks just to get back into the swing of things. From there, you can sort of go down one of two pathways. So you could go down the more traditional route of your classic aerobic work, building up the meterage, tiny bit of intensity in there, you know, building it up, and then that classic winter training that we're thinking about, you know. That would be the normal if you're starting your season in September, you're building up into your winter training, getting yourself ready for some lovely meters long course. Obviously, we're in a slightly different situation at the moment and where we're going back in April, May time. And you never know what's going to be happening with competitions. We may be seeing some in June, July. You never know. You never know. So this is where an alternative pathway becomes apparent. And quite a few coaches are starting to use this. So namely, Dave Marsh, James Gibson, two very big names in the coaching world. James Gibson, for instance, being the head coach of the ISL team Energy Standard, and Dave Marsh being in charge of the Cali Condors. Or is it the LA Current?
No, LA Current. He's team elite. LA Current. He's the owner of the LA Current.
Yes, yeah. So they do something called reverse periodization. Now, reverse periodization takes those initial 2 to 3 weeks of initial nice long swimming and keeps that. We need that. That's simple for, it just makes sense. Yeah. I'm not going to go back to the pool in the public session, put my hat and goggles on, get on the block and try and sprint out of 50. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'll break. Yeah. And it's just not going to be good for anyone. And I'll probably touch in, awful time, look at it and go, oh God, here we go. Yeah. You need those 2 to 3 weeks of slow-ish swimming, building it back up, just getting used to being in the water and having fun being in the water as well. Yeah, trying to regain that joy for the swimming. After those 3 weeks, however, that's when they start incorporating speed. Speed, power work, but also a lot of technical work as well. Yeah, so they'll build up the speed and power work from a small amount, and they'll keep building it up, keep building it up, keep building it up, keep building it up. So you're looking at probably what, like, is 6 to 12 weeks of doing this, you know. Obviously there'll be slight tiny bits of aerobic work chucked in, and like I was saying, with your technique and stuff like that, but it's predominantly speed, power, that is the focus. Because what we've got to remember, guys, is that speed and power take far longer to develop and hone than aerobic capacity does. Yeah, it does. It's simple. And I'll use the adage of, I can guarantee a sprint, so a 100-meter track athlete, could probably, after a decent aerobic block, run a fairly okay marathon. Yeah? Marathon runner, it would be a lot harder for them to transition to do a fairly decent 100.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the way of thinking about it. Just think about the different somatotypes that you have there, different body types, different energy systems. It's a lot easier for the sprint athlete to develop an aerobic capacity than for the aerobic athlete to develop an anaerobic capacity, that ATP system, an effective ATP system. Okay. After that block of that speed and power, they then build up the volume. And that is a mixture of aerobic, anaerobic, power, mainly technical work. Yeah, so they're maintaining their level and their excellency of sprint, but also being healthy and fit enough to maintain that, you see? So maintaining speed, but being fit enough to do that as well.
Yeah, I get you.
Then when they get close to the competition, that's when they can have their taper, bring it down slightly. And obviously taper is a completely different subject, and that's all separate for different athletes. You know, some will have a 3 week, some will have a 5 day. And I think the best example of it is Sarah Sjostrom. Before the 2019 World Champs, there she was still doing 30K weeks. Maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, I was reading that she's doing like some hefty meters before the champs.
Yeah, some absolutely hefty meters because she was concentrating on the 200. Yeah. Had a 2 week taper. Oh, I don't think it was even that. I think it was like a week taper or something silly.
Yeah, it was quite and a short taper. I remember being.
It was a short taper. And then she goes in and she's only 1/100 of a second off the 50 world record. Yeah.
She's maintained that
speed. She's maintained the speed. She's got that effective speed. Your only job from then on is just to not let it go. And you can do that by still with an increased volume. Yeah. So it's just a really interesting, different way of thinking about a season, which I think would be particularly effective for the rest of this swim season.
Yeah.
So assume, this is assuming obviously that we have competitions come August time. And this is maybe assuming that we don't have a summer break. Normally you have your summer break end of August to the beginning of September, like 2 weeks, if that. But because we've had so much time out of the pool, who knows what's going to be happening with that? Mm. We don't know. We don't know. This is just purely speculation. But the reverse periodization, I think, would really suit this, especially if we're going to try and compete in that sort of late summertime. You know, get them back into the pool. You've got 3 weeks. That's going to take you to mid-May, maybe the end of May. Then start building up some speed through June, July. See what you can do then.
Yeah,
just see what's happening.
Well, level,
I mean, obviously, again, we just need to wait until competition schedules are out. But it's just it's a different way of thinking. But I'm fully aware of how hard it is to try something new.
Yeah,
you know, if you've got a tried and tested method, you know, it's hard to change over. But I think with different circumstances, it's challenging us as coaches to develop and think differently, which is not a bad thing.
Mm. I was going to say now. This season, I would say, is probably the perfect time to try things out.
Absolutely.
Seasons, I describe the season as broken into three seasons in between each of the lockdowns. And within that, we were able to try lots of new things. Like even you and I, we've tried some new ideas and bits like that because we had the opportunity to do that. Because we know that during in between those lockdowns, we didn't have, it was uncertain the times in which we were going to be able to train in and stuff like that, so we were able to try things out, new ideas, new bits of that, and some things for sure are definitely working. Like we increased our meterage ever so slightly And we found that that had some good performance. That helped a lot for some, didn't for others.
Absolutely.
But it's like, it was all trying new things out, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, we went for a slightly higher volume in the first 2 to 3 weeks after the initial lockdown, didn't we? And then went slowly. We transitioned maybe a little bit too slowly into more of your speed power work. But yeah, I think we got ourselves to a good place, most definitely.
Yeah, everyone was dropping.
Especially for Level X and stuff like that. Everyone was swimming fairly decently.
Which is quite impressive. Like within 3 months, we like quite a few of us were hitting on PBs and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So within 3 months of having 6 months out, that's not bad.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it just goes to show, if you think about stuff critically, really think about what you're trying to achieve. Think about what the end is, what the end product, what do you want that to look like? You then have the steps leading up to it and you can plan those out. It's never too early to start planning.
Yeah,
I've already started planning for when we get back into the pool, and we don't really know when that is. May time is what we've been given. So this is for indoor activity, obviously. Yes, outdoor pools are going to be open for us to use. Indoor pools are going to be able for us to use, but only in public sessions. I know the challenge of swimming in a public session. Let's just say it's not the best relationship, say, between a classic public swimmer and a trained swimmer. Both hate each other, it seems, you know. The feeling is mutual. So I know the difficulty. But just thinking about something differently, being really specific, what do you want to achieve? Then work towards that. Little steps.
I know one thing that I've been looking at too, because of course we're going to have to spend about a month, 5 weeks training in public lanes.
Yes.
I've been looking at with another coach, Adam Toy, our colleague, who we were talking about improving underwaters and bits like that, and how we can actually implement presets into our like ability, sort of like our programming during this like month, and what we could do in those presets. And he was doing a lot of work on this like underwater work. So we started off with week one, 4 week process of week one, doing 25s underwater off 30. I think he was saying about 8 25s underwater. Every single
fins, no fins, or
I don't think it was with fins, but then again, I think you can just jazz it up a bit. And then the week two, you progress to 50 meters with 15 meters underwater on each one. Week three, 100 meters, week four, 200 meters. But you're doing that every single day in the preset almost.
Yeah,
it was only like, well, I don't know, 5-10 minutes worth of work, but that like kind of like building the progression and volume in a preset would massively help when it comes to doing, when we actually get into doing our proper training. And that's the other thing, I think, for those of you who are going to be out in the public lanes, is maybe to consider areas where you can use that time to progress on certain skills or small aspects of your swim, which you know you'll be able to achieve within public sessions and stuff like that.
Absolutely, because you're not going to be able to get in 10 200s of 3 minutes. You're not going to be able to do that effectively. You're not going to get an awful lot out of it apart from just swimming, which is fine. That's absolutely fine. But you could definitely get bigger benefits in other places. You know, technical work, underwater work, turns work. I know turns may be a little bit difficult, you know, but underwater work's definitely a key one. Any form of technique, where's your catch? Can you get a better catch? Where's your body position? Are your hips dropping? You know, are they too high? Is your head too high? Is your head too low? Use a snorkel, don't use a snorkel. Everything like that you can do, because you're most likely going to be limited probably to intervals of 25 to 50 meters. That's the way I can see it going.
Yeah, same.
How can you use that effectively?
Yeah.
Do your technical stuff. And like you were just saying, the key word there is progression, right? It's progressing whatever you're doing bit by bit, whatever you're focusing on bit by bit. So whether you progress by increasing the volume, the reps of what you're doing, or you decrease the time you're doing said volume on, or you increase the speed of what you're doing, or you add more onto a drill. Yeah, you progress a drill further. That's what we're looking at, and it's all down to progression. Because if you don't add more onto it, yes, you're going to get better. Say, for instance, you had 10 25s underwater kick on 30 seconds. Yes, you're going to be really good at 10 25s underwater kick on 30 seconds. But that's it. It's not going to progress further than that. Mm-hmm. So then the next step would either be adding on reps. So 11 25s or 12 25s off 30 seconds. Brilliant. Or lowering the time, 10 25s off 25 seconds, you know, and so on and so on. You then build it up until you can't progress it any further. So for instance, say if you did volume first, you got to say 20 25s off 30 seconds. That was just getting too much. You then lower the volume down, but then change another parameter. So maybe put it down to 15 25s, but off 25 seconds. Build it up. Yeah, build it up, bring it back down, build it up, bring it back down. But if you keep building and then bring it back down a little bit and then building it up again, that curve, it may be fluctuating, but the general trend is you're going up. The trajectory is up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to aim for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's also, there's other things that, especially with underwater, I've been learning when during this, these lockdown periods or when we were allowed to swim, I was spending a lot of time on my underwaters. Because
yeah,
I'm awful at them. So I really want to progress. But I was starting to get better at the actual underwater work. But the issue was, is my progression out of a turn into the underwaters? Because it's a whole different kind of push off and coming out and bits like that. It's a lot harder, I feel, to transition from just doing your 25s underwater to actually doing a tumble turn, coming out of the tumble turn, and then
progressing yeah.
your underwaters. And that's where I feel like if you start off with doing, it's a bit like Adam Toy's set, where you're starting off with just 25s underwater, then the next week you're actually going out of a turn, holding 15 meters underwater. And this, it starts to not only progress your lung capacities and stuff like that, but the skills needed to come out of turns and continue the underwaters.
Absolutely. Also just body awareness. Where are you in the water? You know, oh, brilliant. I've done this amount of kicks. I'm at 15. Break. You know, and then breaking into the stroke at the right time and so on. So, yeah, no. Sounds like that's an excellent plan, to be honest with you.
Well, you're going to be in with us, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Get that swimming involved. It'll be good.
Yeah.
Definitely
but, be yeah, good. So the conversation today is all about, as we discussed, like the different ways we can progress when we get back in the pool and the contrast as well, because all of us, as we've discussed, are used to like the classic kind of volume to start with, progressing to that speed. And I feel it's important for us to show the differences in what can happen and to think outside the box a little bit and try not to be scared of other methods in which can be used.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just opening yourself up to a new way of thinking. But like I said, it still may not be suitable for the environment that you're in, the swimmers that you have. Just have a little sit back, weigh up your options, what works best for the guys. Because at the end of the day, we're providing a service, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're providing a service, so we need to give them the best service possible. Yeah? So think about, what have you got? Who are you? So yeah, who have you? What? Well, what's your environment like? What's your pool time like? What's your pool space like? What are your swimmers like? What's going to suit them the most? Go with that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, you've got probably if you sat there with the younger kids, you're sitting there with that aerobic base, and then also all that drill work, aerobic base, sit around there because that's the real key for those guys.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. But no, It's just new ideas, guys. Read. That's all I can say. Have a little read up. There's so much stuff out there. Maybe, you know, get involved with a book swap if anyone's got any swimming literature. That's what we've been doing lately. Myself, Clive, and our colleague, Adam, who we were speaking about earlier. This is the best time to do it. You know, we've got what's the countdown now?
A week, I think.
16 days until pools open, something like that. So it's definitely time to plan, definitely time to explore new options.
Yeah, definitely. And we could add in this in. We need book recommendations. I know I've read the Greg Troy and Eddie Reese books, and they are incredible. Really highly recommend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great books all around there. I mean, you could go with your classic championship swim training as well, you know, like that. That's just the bread and butter. I wouldn't say copy directly from it if that doesn't suit you, but you get ideas, you can adapt. And I think that's the biggest part of being a coach, is adapting stuff to suit your needs.
Yeah. Because what's worked with some may not work with others, bits like that.
Oh, 100%, 100%.
How are you finding the book I gave you? I'm so interested to see how you find it. So the book was Power, Towers and Swimming. And I'm really interested to see how you find it. I thought it was amazing.
It is amazing. Absolutely. I'm going to give you a better answer when I finish the book. Because I need to get my...
You halfway through it then?
About halfway, yeah. So... tune in next week when I'm sure I finish the book, and then I'll give you a more solid answer then. When you read new ideas, you get so enthusiastic about a new idea, and it's great. And that's never a bad thing. The only bad thing when you get enthusiastic about a new idea is then letting it completely take over your coaching philosophy. And like, we spoke with Chris Nielsen episode was that for us?
Episode two, episode three,
something like that. Go back and have a listen to that, guys, about coaching philosophies. They need to be fluid, they need to be dynamic, they need to move with the paradigms of swimming. But it doesn't mean you can't keep an aspect and then add a new aspect in. It's still changing. But as long as you have your root fundamentals, your unnegotiable standards, but keep adapting with that, you're onto a win, and you're never going to get caught out.
No, exactly.
As a coach, you're never going to be caught short. No way.
You don't have to follow anyone else's ideas or principles. That you can create your own by adding bits together and morphing your own.
Absolutely. Ideas. But that's the coaching process. It's an amalgamation. It's how coaches came to be. They learnt. Everyone's a student at some point, and then you then become a coach. And so everyone in the world will coach at some point or teach at some point in their life, whether it be to family members, to children, to loved ones, to people at work, you know, people in play, or even in sport, anything like that. You will be a coach. You will be a student. Everyone is. Yeah. It's just being adaptable.
Yeah. And as Chris Nielsen said, it's listen to other ideas, taking on other ideas, and like we all don't know everything. So it's time to listen in, be a sponge, absorb it all, and just absorb it all, pick out the stuff that's not going to work for you, take in the stuff that is, and just like that. Enjoy the process and enjoy learning.
Exactly. Exactly. But I think I'm tapped out. Tapped out.
No.
Tapped out.
That was a good podcast. I'm
absolutely
pretty pleased we were able to discuss those kind of subjects, especially as the pools are starting to, things are starting to happen again. We're starting to get back.
Yes.
It's exciting times, guys. Exciting.
It is. But like we always say, tell us your thoughts. What are your thoughts on getting back into the pool? Not just physically. What about it mentally? How are you feeling about it? What are your worries? What are your concerns? Are you excited? I'm sure most of you are, but of course there are going to be some, you know, like, ooh, I don't know what the best word is. Reservations is probably the best word about getting back in. Let us know. It adds more for us to talk about.
Yeah, for sure. Remember, you can contact us on social media at Instagram and Facebook at the Swim Coaches Podcast. Get in contact. Have a look at our social media page. There's lots of little like articles and stuff on there you can have a look at. And send us a message or something like that, and talk to us, your ideas, anything like that. And yeah, we're also available to listen on Spotify and most other podcast platforms. So if you want to listen to us, and thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks for listening.